Good morning, everybody. This is Scott Mitchell with our program called Let the Bible Speak. I'm here with a friend of mine named Tim Modlin. How many times have you been on? Three or four?
More than that.
Five? I don't remember. I haven't checked.
Multiple times.
This is show number 50, which is very exciting. It's been almost, 52 weeks of the year. Been virtually a year since we started. Missed a show or two, so it barely has been right at a year. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity that we've had to do this. Before I go in too far, I had asked Shannon Schaefer to be on the show with me today, and he is not on here today. His dad passed away. I'm not getting into a lot of details, but remember Shannon and his family in your prayers. And it's ironic. A lady I teach with named Tara Crothers, I asked for a radio topic, and she asked if we could talk about dealing with grief. And the day I called him is the day that his dad passed away. I asked him to be on the show. And so just remember him in your prayers and help him deal with this time. It's not, again, I don't want to get into details of everything, but regardless of details, it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm. And your dad's been gone quite a while, hasn't he?
My dad's been gone 21 years.
Yeah,
and I know that because he died when my oldest daughter's 9 months old, and she's 21 years old, so I was able to keep track of that pretty easy. But before we get into the show, we are going to talk about dealing with grief. And Tim, Tim had offered to do the show for Shannon, and so I think it's worked out fine. I don't ever doubt that Tim is going to do a very good job teaching the Bible, and the notes he has prepared proves me right on that, but we'll get into that in a minute. Before we get going too fast, we do have contact availability for the program. You can, on Facebook Live, you can go to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak and find the program, which if you're on there now, you don't need that information. You can also go to a website called liveforit.faith. If Theron Hall's put together, he uploads all the shows on there. You can go to Facebook Live, ask questions, make comments. I'll try to have Matt watch the screen if anything comes up we need to know. I can pull it up on my phone as well. But look for comments and questions if we have any. We sometimes have some. You also go to a radio app called Listen to My Radio. You can listen to this radio program on WBRO on there. If you're traveling, it's a feed you can listen to this station pretty much wherever you are. We have a lot of people that are receiving CDs that Theron sends out to be. I think he's mailing CDs to seven or eight different people now, and so they also Theron makes a lot of CDs and makes those available to people as well. So we've got lots of ways to access what's covered on this show. Please, if you have questions or corrections or comments, please do not be afraid to make those. We're welcome. They're welcome always, and also wanted as well. Also, Galena congregation almost stumbled over my G's there. The Galena congregation is having a gospel meeting coming up and also a singing. The singing is April 5th at 7 o'clock at the Galena Church of Christ. If you are interested in something like that, we're having that. And then our gospel meeting is April 14th through the 19th. And I thought this was a fitting topic for the gospel meeting. The gospel meeting titled The Christian in a Hostile World. And I guess as an intro to our topic, this world is our enemy in a lot of ways. It's not meant to be comfortable a lot of times, and it's not necessarily meant to be fun. It is not our home. We have something much better waiting for us, but those are some of the things we'll be talking about this morning, but that gospel meeting, that's the topic of that. So Tim, it's not been on for a while, so won't give us your background, where you're from, what you've been doing, that sort of thing. You're probably, you're one of those lifers, been in church your whole life, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll get on with our topic.
Okay, I'm from Pekin. Worship with Scott at Galena. As you say, I've been a member of the church, or grown and raised in the church. Just love to be a Bible student. I have an awesome wife, Mary Beth, two sons, Jonathan and Andrew. Glad we can open the Bible this morning and look at this topic. You know, you said your dad's been dead 21 years. My dad's been dead about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting with this topic. Mom took me to his grave site a few weeks ago. And that was the first time I had been back mm-hmm. since he passed. And we saw the grave marker. And I thought I had done pretty well this past year and a half, but when I got over there and I saw the name, and it hit me, even after a year and a half. And I thought, I was surprised how much it affected me. And so these feelings of grief, they don't go away. And so we want to talk, I think, this morning a little bit about how we deal with that. And we were kind of just going back and forth. The feelings are there, and they can be pretty raw at times. And we want to make sure we aren't trying to deny that they're there, because if we do, they can manifest themselves in a number of ways. It could be a health issue. It could be a behavior issue. There's just a number of ways they can be manifested, but that's what we're come at it with.
Matt's words of wisdom, the man behind the mic this morning, and jokingly, I said, well, Matt, you got any words? But he said, yeah, bottle them up and don't deal with them.
Be a man,
you know? And that's, you know, here's the challenge that we face as Christians sometimes, that we feel guilty sometimes because we feel grief. Because we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. We're supposed to be able to, you know, then, you know, Romans says that God's going to work everything out for the good of man, and so we're supposed to be able to magically see all these things in life and move past these things. But sometimes we've got to deal with those things first. And it's okay to have those feelings. It's okay to question, why did this happen? It's okay to ask those questions. We just have to make sure we're going to the right source for the answer. And here's the challenge that we face sometimes too, is that, you know, what we're going to talk about will work for people that believe that there's a God and they trust His Word, and they have grown to put their faith in what God says. I do not know what to say to somebody who does not know who God is. Outside of, here's, I guess, their worldview is, we're born and we live and we die, so we're just going to have fun, because once it's over, we're dead all over, dead like Rover, and lights go out and there's nothing else to life, which seems like a really empty, hollow kind of way to live. But we all know people who are living that way.
Right.
So what we're going to talk about today, if you're one of those people who aren't sure there's a God, or maybe question what the Bible says, get a Bible. You don't have one, call me, I'll get you one. And look at these verses and see if they make sense. See if it's something you need to pursue further and find out more of what God has to say about these things. Because in an hour, we can't possibly cover everything. Like Tim said before we started, we could come at this from so many different angles. Because I was in Home Depot in New Albany when I got the text from Tara asking me to cover this topic, and I instantly started. I started brainstorming. Well, how do we? Well, there are so many different things to talk about. We can't cover it in an hour.
Right.
So I really like your acronym. Will keep us focused. And so if you want to get a piece of paper, do this. And write the word grief down long ways, and so you can put your notes out to the side, and it'll be a great way to keep notes on what we're going to talk about this morning, and keep us organized, I think, as far as keeping us from chasing too many rabbits and getting off, and try to keep us focused on the direction we want to go. So since you've got such beautiful notes, I'm gonna keep my notes over here, and if they match up with yours, I'll say something, and we'll just talk back and forth about what you've got. And is that okay with you?
That's
to go over there.
That's
so it is. You're right. Before we started, he said, "I said I'll let you kind of lead." He said, "Well, this is Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak." That's just the name. I have found that, you know, people always say that good leaders surround themselves with people that know what they're doing. And so I trust very much. You know, I trust you as a Bible student more than I do most people. So let's start with, how do you want to start? Because you lost your dad recently. We've all dealt with grief. It's not always death that causes grief. It could be a job situation. It could be a situation with a child. It could be a divorce. I've heard people say that they would rather that their spouse have died than go through a divorce, because they have to keep reliving it over. You know, they never get to really get past. So grief comes at us from lots of different angles in life.
Right.
It's not just always the death that causes grief. But that's generally what people think about when they deal with this. But what we're going to talk about will heal that, help heal that grief from all different areas. So where do you want to start?
Well, I'm actually going to go off my notes for a second.
Oh, hey, you're going to get off your notes. Okay, cool.
I'm going to depart from the text. when you were talking about people thinking like there's, if you don't have God in your life, mm-hmm. you know, that's one thing. And we're going to show why you should have God in yeah. your life on this. But the other thing is, I don't want anybody to think that when you become a Christian, suddenly everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's a problem too.
We aren't Teflon Christians. Things affect us.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a, I hate to say it this way, but if there was a superhero Christian, who would that be for you in the New Testament? The superhero Christian.
For me?
Yeah. Who would that be?
Let's see.
That he just had it all together and, you know.
Everything perfect? And everything going good?
Well, you might think Paul.
That's the first name I thought of.
But when you read, yeah. It's,
but yeah, it's not like life didn't happen to him.
When you read about him, he talks about he had fears, he had tears.
If you read 2 Corinthians and don't hear that in Paul,
yeah,
you're missing a lot of who Paul was.
Right. And some of the stuff we're going to talk about this morning is his reflections upon how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, growing up, I thought with Paul, you know, he just had it all together and mm-hmm. nothing ever got to him. He was scared
yeah.
at times.
Yeah.
You know, and
troubled within and without. Yep.
Acts chapter 18, Jesus comes and says to him when he's at Corinth, he says, "Do not be afraid." Now, he wouldn't tell him don't be afraid if he wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different kinds of grief.
Yeah.
You know, he was hounded by the Jewish leaders. He was hunted like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's kind of a little departure there. But anyway, talks about the fact that there's real people with real problems.
In terms of that, too, you mentioned, I think sometimes people have the impression that because we're Christians, that things will somehow be better for us because we're Christians. They'll say, well, why would God let this happen to me? Why me? If God's really, why would he let this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about life is it happens to everybody.
Right.
Christian, non-Christian alike, people are going to suffer. People are going to have grief. People are going to have loss. The thing that being a Christian offers us is a foundation to stand on to help us get through those times.
Mm-hmm.
And God will heal our broken hearts and heal those. And that's what we're going to get into today.
He gives us solutions.
Yes.
And if we don't have God, we have no solution.
Correct.
And then when you have that mindset, then when stuff happens to you, rather than saying, why me, you say, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you understand the benefits that come from going through these types of things.
Yes.
So
yes.
Anyway, Scott peeked over at my notes and saw that I had this acronym. And that, when I was thinking about this, I tried to go at it from something that was memorable, and everybody can write this word down, grief. And you might come up with some different words for each one of these letters, but this is just a starting point for us, and mm-hmm. we can kind of go through that and see how we can build on it. I originally said that I was going to take these in a different order than than they're spelled. And I'm going to start by taking it in a different order. I'm going to start with the I, because
okay.
I think that's important. And then we'll just go back and
sure.
deal with all of them. But for the letter I, I think we need to realize that I can't do this alone.
So I can't bottle it up?
I can't bottle it
and
up.
And not deal with it?
I can't find a solution in myself.
But isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Well, that's what kind of...
Isn't that right, Matt? Just deal with it.
Yeah, suck it up and deal with it. And you know... that's not productive for you or for anybody you interact with. There's a passage that I'd like to take you to in Psalm 73. And
Psalm 73?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is written by a man named Asaph. And he had different kinds of grief. He wasn't talking about a death, but certainly he had issues that he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 2, he says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he goes on and talks about, you know, they don't have any problems when they die. Mm-hmm. Everything just goes for them. I mean, nothing affects them. Everything is great for them. And he says, I'm trying to figure this all out. And it was affecting him to the point where he was depressed. I mean, mm-hmm. he's envious. He's depressed. That could be a form of grief here.
Yes.
Down in verse 13, I want to pick up the reading there. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. So he's been trying to live his life the way he knows that he should. And he said, it's all for nothing. He says, I have washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. So stuff hasn't been good, easy for him. Mm-hmm. He says, what's the use? Why do I go through this? The people who say there is no God, maybe they're right. Mm-hmm. I can't figure this out. He says in verse 15, if I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. So, I mean, he is agonizing.
He's
agonized, over this.
Yeah.
Okay? And he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. And then he goes through and says, okay, these people might have it all together or seemingly so, but they are on a slippery slope, and mm-hmm. it's not going to lead them to a good place. And so it wasn't until he realized, I can't figure this out on my own. I've got to go somewhere else. I've got to go to a higher power. And he went to the sanctuary of God and then understood how to process this. Yeah. And he was able to go through. So,
by the way, if you want to make a phone call, you can. My wife made me a really cool bold print little table tent for the table for the phone number, and I left. I had it in my hand this morning, Matt, and I'll set it down. I don't know what I did with it. It's probably on the rail by the door. Number's 812-365-9864. 812-365-9864. Or you can call my cell. It's 812-620-4034. If you want to make a phone call and make a comment, we'll be glad to address it on the air as we go. Thank you for that. Anyway, so carry on, Mr. Bowditch. What you got?
So that's the first thing I came up with, that we need to realize we can't do it alone.
Yep.
We need a higher power in our lives.
And I mean, that's where this guilt thing comes in with people. I should be able to deal with this. Other people are going through this. Other people are doing fine. But a lot of times they're not doing fine.
Right.
And we don't realize they're not doing fine until something happens in our lives and people start coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, this happened to me, this happened to me. I know when I was teaching down Patoka years ago, this lady came into my classroom. She was a cook down there, and her son had been killed. And this is the process she was going through. She said, is God punishing me for something I've done by killing my son? So she was trying to process why this could have happened as God punishing her. And that was rolling around in her. She was trying to sort the why would something like this happen. And another lady had a miscarriage, and she knew that I coached her son and then taught her kids. And she came into my class one day, and she sat down and she started crying. She looked like she was walking around doing fine, but she sat down and just broke down. She said, "How do you do this?" So people appear like they're doing fine, like this guy,
right?
But a lot of times we're not doing fine. A lot of times we've got things going on and we try to hide it and bottle it up and try to do this alone, and it is not going to work. And so it's okay, guys, it's okay to deal with it.
Right.
Women, it's okay to deal with it. It's okay that you feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. So go to the right source to deal with it.
Yeah, I heard a way to say this, that we're all going through storms in life. We're either in a storm, coming out of the storm, or about to go into one.
Mm-hmm. Or preparing
all
for
of,
one.
All
yeah.
of us.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of who we are.
Yeah.
And we were talking on the way over, there was, we talked about that shooting in Florida a year ago.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. But are you going to tell the whole story?
Well, I'll just paraphrase what it is. But you remember this shooting in Parkland,
mm-hmm.
Where several students were killed by a gunman. There was a girl that her best friend was one of the victims. And it's been a year, or more so, more or less, since that shooting. And just this past week, the news came out that this girl whose friend had died, she had survivor's guilt, and she killed herself. So she had been dealing with this grief on her own for a year. And her parents, and the story reported that her parents said she never asked for help. Now, I know from watching the reports a year ago, they brought grief counselors in. Mm-hmm. But this poor girl couldn't process it.
So her question was, why did I survive? And why was she the one that died? Why was I the one that survived?
Right. And she took her life because she couldn't. And I don't know what all was going through her head, but that's what we want to address. I mean, she needed professional help. I mean, there's therapists that can help peel back those feelings. But there's also a God that can help mm-hmm. peel back those feelings. And there's a God that can help protect us. Mm-hmm. And so as we get into this, the G stands for God.
Yep.
God has to be in the picture. There's a really comforting passage because we're talking about folks that have broken hearts. And the heart is so vulnerable. We might try to deny that our hearts are affected, but whether it's death of a friend, whether it's just frustration over how life is going at times, there's grief going on, there's hearts that are affected. The Apostle Paul, we had mentioned him earlier already, had talked about some of the things he went through. He says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, be anxious for nothing. This is verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, for the G, I put, God will guard your hearts. Now, this peace that it talks about, it surpasses understanding. I'm not even going to try to explain it because it says,
We can't understand it.
We can't understand. It's just, we take it by faith that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as we look to this, we can take some comfort in the fact that God is there and God will guard our broken hearts. He heals the brokenhearted, as you've mentioned already.
Yep.
And so, He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to pour our hearts out to Him.
I was talking about a verse. I can't find it. And there's a verse that talks about God's stitching up your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Psalm 147:3. That's similar. It's not it. There are other ones. I will find it and maybe share it in the future. But that we talk about guarding our heart. It's not. God is not saying we're not going to have broken hearts.
No.
God is not saying that life isn't going to affect us that way. But He says, I will heal your broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
Which Psalm 147:3 does more or less say that. He will bind up our wounds. He will take care of those things for us. But, you know, it's kind of like we think that we're not supposed to have, it's like we feel guilty, like I said before, that as Christians we're supposed to rejoice in all things. And we're supposed to see that, and God's going to work all things out for those who love the Lord. It's going to work out. And it's like we feel bad that we don't see those things right away. So it takes time. You know, time, you know, they say time heals all wounds, and that's not always true either. If it's not dealt with, you know, like this girl, you would think after a year that she would have processed through things and been, mm-hmm. but she stewed on these things for a year. And her answer was to take her own life because of the guilt she was feeling, the grief she was dealing with. So time is not necessarily the answer, folks. Don't just sit around and say, well, it'll go away. Well, it might not just go away if you don't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so let God in. That's the, folks, if you don't turn to God, there is no real answer to this. It's just ugly life, and there's nothing more to it. And why would you not just end it if that's all there is? If what we see on this in this world is all the hope we have, is if all I can ever get is the biggest house I can ever buy and the nicest car I can ever drive, if that's all I can attain in this life, and then when I'm dead, I'm just done. Why would you bother doing any of that? And so we've got to let God in, folks. It's like Tim said, this is absolutely critical that we start letting God into this. And if you're out there and haven't, I mean, begin the process. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to ask questions, mm-hmm. but start the process of letting him in. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, folks might not, that you're around, they might not care and might not act like they care.
Mm-hmm.
But we know we can bank on this. You go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Yeah.
Just the fact to know that he cares. And we have to show some vulnerability here to express these thoughts. But we know that he listens. Mm-hmm. We know he cares. And we know he will guard our hearts. And so that's probably one of the things we need to... Well, that is the thing we need to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comforted also by a passage over in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, Jesus had it all together. I mean, we can agree with that. But there were times where his humanity,
mm-hmm.
He lost it. I mean, when Lazarus died, he saw how upset Mary and Martha and the rest of them were. Now, he was grieved in his spirit, it said there in John. But I don't know if it was more for unbelief there or what, but he was upset that they were upset. And then we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying to God, you know, his tears were like drops of blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was in agony. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have a little bracelet on my wrist that says, be bold.
Yeah.
You know, and we come to God boldly because we know that we have a high priest in Jesus who understands what we're feeling and can sympathize with mm-hmm. us and can express that to the Father for us.
And before we're done today, we need to talk about your shirt, because that's a quote we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
My shirts, I've worn them so much, they're starting to look bad, so I need to get a new one.
Mine's cracking too.
But, we need to talk about that at some point, and whatever point you think it fits best in, because that quote answers this somewhat,
mm-hmm.
And the response of her parents mm-hmm. to her situation answers a lot of these things. But we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Whenever you think it best fits in, but.
We'll just put it in whenever you see.
Okay.
Well, we put God as our first idea that we need to make mm-hmm. sure he's in the picture. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40.
31?
Yes, Isaiah 40 verse 31. This is for R. And again, I wanted something... and again, this is not all-encompassing for this topic by any stretch, but this is something that is simple that you can at least a starting point to build off of. But in Isaiah chapter 40 over in verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk fast and not faint. The hardest thing, I think, is the waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting to get through something. But the promise is that if we're willing to wait on God, knowing the fact that he is guarding our hearts, knowing the fact he cares for us and wants to hear from us, that our spirit, our strength is going to be renewed.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. I mean, when you're going through something like this grief, you want to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start feeling better. We're promised that our strength will be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have the benefit now in our area seeing the eagles.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing them soar up in the sky.
The flip side of this thing, I've seen, and I know a lady who lost. Is it top of the hour already? Oh, go ahead, Matt.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcast from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
That first half hour went really fast.
Yeah.
It's just this lady lost her husband and son to a car wreck, and she had remarried. But and then they moved to Texas to try to get away from this area, and that's where he was from too. But she now is on Facebook a lot, saying, you know, please, Lord Jesus, come back soon, because all she can think about is getting this over with, because it's so hard for her, and she's not really doing a whole lot. Yeah, she believes in God, and she is trusting Jesus to take care of the situation, but she's spending her life wishing this life away. So her grief, while she's tried to move on, is really holding her back, because she's not really being productive as a Christian, because it's this idea of Jesus coming back now is eating her up, because she knows when he comes back the pain will be gone. But she's not moved past, even though she's remarried, the grief is holding her back to a point where she can't really be effective as a person. She's depressed. She stays in her house a lot. I mean, she just doesn't do any. You know, that where she was, she may be, you know, that's when she was up here, that's where she was. And I don't know. I don't think that's what God wants for us. You know, grief is. In fact, I told you about a sermon that Wilson Adams had done. I didn't think about it till it was too late to find it. The sermon was called Good Grief. Mm-hmm. You know, God, that's a normal human reaction that God put in us. There is good grief. That example of that lady is not good grief. That is painful and long and debilitating grief, and that's not what God wants for us either. Mm-hmm. So, and you're looking something up. I'm not sure what you got going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is live, so you and those on Facebook can see that I have a passage in my head.
Yes,
I've
been looking for one too, but
keep talking while looking
at
Scott.
Well, I'll just talk about your shirt, because I think this
is a
good time to do that. And Simon and Teresa are a lot of times listening to this show, and I don't want to reopen old wounds, but it's important for this topic. What Tim's shirt says is life is more interesting when you're happy. Mm-hmm. And it's a quote from a girl named Kelsey Harris. And before they moved to Arkansas, Simon Harris preached at Galena, and we were at Buffalo Trace Park, and this is the last thing I remember doing with them was swinging. She was on the merry-go-round with my twins, and she pretty much claimed my twins as her own. Well, when they got to Arkansas in that time frame, they realized that Kelsey had a brain tumor, and you know this. If you go to T-shirts that inspire. Where's the website that you go to see Simon tell this story?
It's not up anymore.
It's not where. Well, okay.
I can post a link to it.
Well,
video on YouTube.
Where do they go to see that?
I'll have to post a link on YouTube.
Okay.
But life is more interesting. There's
yeah.
A Facebook there,
anyway,
page.
Simon tells the story better than I can. But when she died, I was. About a quarter mile from my house on Oak Grove Road here between Marengo and my house. And I called Simon. He said, she's gone. And luckily I was at a stop sign out there, because I couldn't drive for a little while. And but what the thing he said to me was, we don't have to worry about her anymore. We know where she is.
I think he also said, you know, we're done. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. Now
he did.
It's in God's hands.
And so that's I look at that and I'm thinking, could I do that? Could I say that like they didn't really and really mean it? Could I take that perspective on this situation? And I don't know, because I haven't lost a child like that. I can't speak
Scott,
to that.
That reminds me of David when he lost a child. Mm-hmm. That he had been grieving for the child when it was still alive. Once it died, he got up and ate, and it was
praise
it was
God.
Done.
Yeah, and it was almost like that, because even at one point he said, "Scott, we're asking people to change their prayers." we're asking people to change their prayers from healing, Kelsey, to prayers for comfort and that sort of thing. So they were able to not bottle it up, but process it and let God have her. And they're not ours anyway. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, God, when we brought our kids into the world, God expects us to give them back to Him in the same condition He gave them to us, pure and innocent and saved and safe with Him. And that's what they feel like they were able to do. And that's why they could say they were done.
Right.
That's powerful. And they let God renew their hearts through this process. So, I mean, that's just one thing, you know, you talk about, you when you mentioned Bible heroes. I don't know anybody stronger than what they've been. And the example, and those we need those people in our lives to help us. And now when something comes up with somebody they know, something similar, they go to those people. And sometimes you just sit with them.
Well, and that's what God does. I mean, you know, God was the first because He's going to guard our hearts. But God also uses others as His instruments for comfort, for grief counseling. And when you're open and vulnerable and willing to share what you go through, as we've talked, you'll be surprised how many people say, I feel the same way, but I was ashamed to say it or I was afraid to say it. And that's not what we need to be. This is a no judgment thing. I mean, we all go through this type of thing. In different ways and different levels, and we need to help each other.
And like in different ways, no two people are going to deal with the same situation in the same way.
But you know, there's certain things they can come at the perspective of grief and understand and tell people, I understand because I've lost a child.
Yeah.
Now, I've been one of the programs we were on, you know, I come at the adoption side and understand the hole in the heart, and I can tell people I understand. You know, Shannon losing his father, I don't understand, because you know, I'm not going to get into the details, but you know, it's his situation is different than me losing my dad.
Yep.
But there's still a hole in your heart, regardless, and that's the thing that we just have to be aware of. And so there's others who can help people process through that. The verse I was looking for, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This was spoken to the ones who would be coming back from captivity after 70 years. I think it's consistent enough to say with Scripture that God's thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to give us a future and to give us hope. Because if we didn't have that to look forward to, then we might as well just throw it all away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And so that's the verse I was looking for.
Yeah.
The getting back to this acronym, the next one for the letter E, we've already done the letter I, which is I can't do this alone. This one's hard on letter E. Turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So in everything, give thanks. Now how can you give thanks for these things you've gone through? That's the paradox that that we have to understand here. Well, we don't necessarily understand it, but there are scriptures who help explain it.
What are we supposed to give thanks for? I guess that's
everything.
You know, what people are going to be, you know, can we give thanks for a brain tumor killing our child? I mean, that's what people are going to, how do we give thanks for that? How do we give thanks for my dad died suddenly of a heart attack? I was out here down the road just a little ways at a guy named Donnie Vermillion's house. I was getting ready to mow a yard. It was Sunday afternoon, and Donnie came out of his house and said, "You need to call your wife." And it was sudden, you know. So the question is for people, and there are going to be people out, how do we give thanks in those situations? I'm not asking you to give thanks for a brain tumor.
No.
I'm not asking you to give thanks for a heart attack. I'm not asking for that. But we have things in our lives we can give thanks for in every situation. We can be cognizant of what we have to be thankful for and hold on to those things, mm-hmm. And help us get through these really, really ugly, hard times. Which, by the way, this world is our enemy. Don't misunderstand this. This world is an enemy to us. Satan uses everything in this world to distract us and to destroy us. And if he can take a death or a disease or a life situation and drag us away from God, he's going to use that. And so remember that as well. We can't talk about God and not talk about it. Some people want to believe in God but kind of pretend Satan's not really there. Well, the Bible talks about both of them. It's either all or nothing. So we got there. He's there. So how do we give? I mean, you've been through these things. How do we give thanks?
Well, there's a something called perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to try to paraphrase what I've heard about perspective. Perspective is the thing that the facts never change. It's just how we choose to look at the facts.
Yeah.
Now, we aren't thankful for brain tumors. We aren't thankful. My dad had cancer and passed from cancer. I'm not thankful for that.
My mother-in-law passed away from leukemia, mm-hmm. at 50, I think it was 51.
We aren't thankful for the diseases. I mean, I hate cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Simon and Teresa, they hate cancer. The perspective, though, James, I think, helps us clarify that in James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's easy to read, hard to apply.
Yeah.
Because count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, why do we do that? Because we know that the testing of our faith produces patience, and that patience is going to have a perfect work. So God sees the end game. You know, we don't see it. And you know, one of my favorite Bible characters with this is Joseph. God saw the end game. Joseph came around to seeing the end game, especially when he was talking to his brothers there in Genesis. He said, "You know, you meant to hurt me. God meant to save a lot of people because of the bad things you did to me." Mm-hmm. Joseph counted it all joy. Now, his brothers talked. Reflecting back when they threw him into the pit and saw him, he said he was screaming. He was begging us not to sell him. At that time, he didn't see that as a joyous thing. Mm-mm. But he looks back on it and says, you know, I had to go through these bad things in order to save my family. Mm-hmm. Now that takes a perspective and that takes a growth. And so if he had those 30 odd years, whatever it was, to grieve that what had happened to him, but he saw what happened. It had a perfect work that was intended by God. And so, it's a paradox, but we can give thanks for the bad stuff that happens to us.
So we look for things in the situation that we can use for God.
Right.
And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that this disease does not take our future away.
Right.
We're thankful that no matter what happens, Jesus is there for us, regardless of what happens to us. He doesn't change. Mm-hmm. We have things to be thankful for. The verse doesn't say be thankful for every bad thing. In everything, give thanks. So no matter what's going on, we have things to hold on to we can be thankful for. Mm-hmm. So understand what that means for us. Mm-hmm. And it means something different for each person. What they choose to hang on to may be a little bit different. How they view what God is doing for them, maybe a little, but God is the answer to these things and the hope we have in Him.
Mm-hmm. And as God sees to our needs through these things, we can give thanks because it can be manifested in that peace that surpasses understanding. Mm-hmm. But it can also be manifested in people stepping up to help you get through those things.
Yeah.
And I've been through that just recently, and you just think back, you go, couldn't have gotten through it without support. And you said Simon, him and Teresa, they'll talk with parents or just sit with parents who are going through this. the perfect work there is that they can empathize with someone.
Yeah.
You know, and when we're willing to show that vulnerability and willing to be honest about what we've gone through, we can be helping other people as well. So there's a lot to be thankful for. Again, we aren't thankful for the cancer. No. We aren't thankful for the sudden deaths. But there's always light if we choose to look for it.
Yeah.
Because God's always there, and we just need to understand that.
Yeah. Good time, little guy.
That clock's messed up. We got
that clock isn't anywhere near right.
Well, that's the last one in the acronym, and then there's some other passages we can go to.
Yeah.
Let's go to Psalm 27.
By the way, if you're trying to take notes, and if you haven't caught them all, the G is for God will guard your hearts. R is renew your strength. I is I can't do it alone. E is everything give thanks. And F is
faith to wait on the Lord.
Faith to wait on the Lord. So if you want to write that down and preach this sermon sometime, you can do that.
Faith comes into this because God's not going to come down and speak to us directly. I mean, we believe he speaks to us through his word.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have faith in order to wait on him. In Psalm 27, and we'll look at some more psalms in a little bit, but this is a psalm of David. And verse 13, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. So David, right there, he says, you know, I would have just given up unless I had believed, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The idea there in that verse, that word wait in verse 14, wait in faith, and it's indicated here in this, because in verse 13 again, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we can talk. If you don't know the story of David, you know, he made some really bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid for the consequences for those bad decisions. But as he reflects on his life in the Psalms, we see that this man after God's own heart was waiting on the Lord, and he was able to get through these mm-hmm. bad times. And so that was the last one on that, just that we need to have this faith.
You know, it's interesting. You know, one thing we haven't really talked about is prayer, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point. But you talked about David's mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And David brought some things on himself, and he was readily admitting, willing to admit that as he wrote to God in his repentance of the things he had done. In Isaiah 37, we see somebody going to God and praying over something that they had caused themselves. And in Isaiah, what it is that Hezekiah goes to God with a letter he got from somebody spewing propaganda about what was going to happen to God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, it's interesting because if you go back to Isaiah 7, Isaiah is with Ahaz, and he says, do not make a deal with, do not do what you're going to do, because it's not going to work. And when we see this picture of this fella coming up, there in Isaiah 7, they're standing at the water supply for Jerusalem. Ahaz is up there checking on water supply because he knows trouble's coming.
Right.
And in 36, when you see this guy named Rabshakeh,
he's
standing exactly where Ahaz was by the water supply for Jerusalem, telling the people of God what was going to happen to their city. They brought this on themselves. It was their own fault. But when you go to chapter 37, Hezekiah has this letter he's gotten from this Rabshakeh, which is a representative of the Assyrians, and he lays this letter out before God. And he says, God, would you read this letter? And he prays for help from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he need to lay that letter out before God? Did God already know what was in it? Sure he did. If we only pray for the things that God doesn't know about, What are we going to pray for?
We have anything to pray about.
Nothing. So even though God knows that you know that He knows what's going on, He wants you to go to Him and ask Him and talk to Him and share your things with Him. That's He wants us to go to Him. He wants to help us. He wants us to lay these things at His feet and say, help me get through this because I cannot do this by myself. And so it's okay. God knows what's going on in our lives. We're not wasting this time when we go to Him. It's not that He has more important things. A lot of people, why would He take the time to want to listen to me? Well, He wants to take the time to listen to us. So it's okay to go to Him with these things and say, I don't know how to do this. Give me help. And He will.
A friend of mine said using Father with capital F, my Father's shoulders are big enough to handle this.
Yes. And He's got time.
Yeah.
He's got the time to deal with these things. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that.
Yeah.
A lot of times people just think, well, I'm not important enough. Everybody's doing this. I'm not the first one. I'm not going to be the last. And this is going to happen to everybody. That's true. Mm-hmm. It does happen to everybody. But God still wants us to go to Him and ask Him for help. So don't be afraid. Make sure you do that before you do anything else.
There's one passage I wanted to make sure I got to before we run out of time. Mm-hmm. And this one is just, I love the way it's phrased. In Psalm 56, if you look at the subheading under this psalm, David's on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy time. So, I mean, he was fearful for his life, but just so many things were going on that it was a difficult time in his life. Verse 8, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. And that phrase, put my tears in your bottle. Just think how comforting that is, that God is giving us a shoulder to cry on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But this tears in your bottle, David understood, or David had that kind of relationship with God to know that he could just spill it all out, and mm-hmm. God was there to listen. God was there to help, because he felt really lonely here. But he knew he could go to God, and God would capture those tears for him. So that was one that I really liked. There's some other psalms, and I think most of these.
And carrying on with what you just read, in verse 9 of that same of Isaiah 56 is, then my enemies will turn back in the day that I will, when I call unto this I know that God is with me. We can have that same. We can know that God is with us, and have that same understanding.
These are other Psalms of David that go along. I wrote down verse 9 too, because I didn't catch that before, but that's good to keep that with it. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, that might have triggered a memory that this is quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2 talking about Jesus, but David's talking about David first, okay? But he always put God before him. And that heart that could have been at times sad, been grieving, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices because he has hope.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, stuff's going to be bad and stuff's going to be bad in my life partly because I really messed up at times. But I know that something better is coming, and I can have hope in that. And so he takes consolation with that knowledge. Psalm 34. verse 17. Again, you can read the subheading to see the situation that David was going through in this particular time in his life. But verse 17, to the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and so forth. But this goes back to the idea that God wants us to hear from, or God wants to hear from us. He says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Those folks who act like they can just deal with it on their own, God says, okay, good luck with that. See how it works out for you. But the ones who have that contrite spirit, that broken heart, he's ready to listen.
This would be a good time to throw in, I don't know if you got Psalm 147 on your list, but verse 3.
Okay, let's go there.
And it's interesting because if you let God do this, it says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So if you let God put your heart back together, he's going to do that for us. But we've got to know who he is. We've got to ask him. We've got to go to him. We've got to be willing to turn to him. And so he will bind up your wounds. He will stitch your heart back together. And he will heal you. Now, if you open this all up, you know, what we should see, and what Andy Cantrell talked about in that verse, I can't find the same concept. He said, if you open up my chest, you're going to see a heart with stitches in it. Because God has had to put it back together. And that's what we all are. I mean, that would be the same for all of us. And so that's how God gets us. That's how we get through these things, is we give God time to stitch us back together.
The hardest thing is, as we wrap up here, grief is a process. And David, this is the Psalm of David, Psalm 40. Again, this whole waiting thing, we're so impatient. I'm impatient. I know others are impatient. We want to feel better now. We want to take a pill and we want to feel better. If we're sick, we want instant relief. David says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my heart, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor as such turn into lies, nor such as turn aside to lies. But he waited patiently for the Lord. And basically he's describing, he brought him out of a really bad situation. And he brought him out of that bad situation and he set him on a rock and established him. And so... but David says, I had to wait for that to happen. Now, is that easy? No, it can't be easy. But it will happen. We can have faith that it will happen. So.
All right. You mentioned the word rock, so I got to go there. God put David on a rock. And I know I keep coming back. I'll come back to this verse virtually every show because it's really the answer to these problems. In Isaiah 26, this verse explains how we get through these times. The verses at Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 say, you keep him, this is talking about God, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That foundation is what will get us through these things. Nothing is going to shake that foundation. It's there, it's solid, and it's all we got to do is stand on it. And it takes care of many, many things. Now, it doesn't make things go away. Like you said, it gives us support and helps us, gives us options, gives us the advice we need to get through the things we've got to go through. Now, I know we're out of time, so I want you to take a moment and think of if you could give somebody a piece of advice on all this, you know, and what would you tell somebody that was starting through a process of grief? What would you advise them? I'll let you have the last words. What would you advise them? How would you advise them to approach this thing?
I can't say it any better than Paul. I'd just go back to Philippians to start. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we want some kind of remedy for this, then we want somebody that's going to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want the protection, we can do our best here. We can talk to each other. That might be part of the plan, God's plan. But first and foremost, go to Him and seek Him. And He promises it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to, we need to reach out to Him.
All right, folks. Well, I'll be honest. When this is one of those topics I'm thinking, what have I got myself into? This is big.
Yeah.
It's a big topic. So if you don't, if you want to add some things on Facebook Live or if you think we've done just botched it up terribly, let me know. We'll fix it. But hopefully we've done a little bit of good, no harm. Just let the Bible speak. The answers are there. Let the Bible speak and let it do what God intended for it to do. And that's to get us to heaven. And that's where we want to be anyway. We didn't get into the verses that talk about where God's going to wipe away every tear. There are lots of verses we could have gone to. Folks, there is something far better coming if we believe. Thank you, Tim, for being on here with us. Matt, thank you for being here. Came over on his Indian motorcycle. It's very nice. Love everybody. And
I'm going to send out good thoughts to Shannon right now.
Yeah, let's remember my brother Shannon Schaefer.
And your friend, too, that passed.
And so we need to just pray for Shannon. And Shannon, we love you if you're watching, if you watch later. Appreciate you very much. And we know it's not easy, but God's there. I know Shannon knows God's there for him and his family. So appreciate all of you. Thanks for being on this morning. And we will see you next week, Lord willing, to talk about something else. Thank you all very much.